thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Watch this.
Here's John Williams.
We are 18 stories up downtown Chicago in our Skyline studio, and our guest said, I love the view, but he's been up in a balloon 10,000 feet.
Lord have mercy.
So shoot, this is nothing. We're here today till 3. Remember, the Mincing Rascals podcast. Our award winner drops tonight at 5:30, the Mincing Rascals.
I believe there are answers in the sky. Up there is where I have found the greatest happiness.
Gentlemen, to predict the weather could save hundreds of thousands of lives.
We are scientists, not fortune tellers.
You'll get your chance. They'll realize your worth.
Miss Wren, I need to make studies of the air.
I'm not a coachman for hire.
You are the only person who could fly us higher than anyone has ever been. So will you?
It's part of the trailer for a new movie called The Aeronauts. Brendan and I and a lot of folks that were at the Chicago International Film Festival saw it last night. And what a terrific movie. It's directed by Tom Harper. You know Tom Harper for his work in Wild Rose. You know him for this other little TV show that folks seem to like called Peaky Blinders. He directed a few of the episodes in the first season of that. And he's the director of this new movie starring who you just heard there, Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones, Academy Award winners and nominees themselves. So welcome to Chicago and welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm good. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from London, UK.
Really? I don't pick that up. Have you been to Chicago much?
This is my first time, and I've been here for 24 hours. And so it's been short, but very sweet so far.
I saw you on stage last night before the movie, and then you were there afterwards as well. So you literally got off the plane and buzzed over to the theater, huh?
Yeah, I did. The plane was delayed because a valve in the engine bust, which is... reminded me of how precarious flight can be in the wrong way.
Yeah, you said that and nobody laughed because everybody is like, yeah, we are a little, you know, nervous sometimes about flight, but planes are fantastically safe. You did a movie called The Aeronauts and it's about ballooning, right?
Right.
It's about more than that, of course, but just tell us where you got the idea for this film.
Well, I read this amazing book called Falling Upwards by Richard Holmes. And in that book, it recounts some of humans' first journeys into the skies in balloons or gas balloons, as they were then. And there are just so many remarkable things that happened to some of these early balloonists. But most of all, I was really inspired by the extraordinary lengths that people went to expand our knowledge of the world. And I found that really inspiring.
Was that what they were doing? Or were they doing it for military purposes? Or were they doing it for fun?
I think there was a whole range of different reasons why they were doing it. Certainly, there were some, you know, gave people great military gain because you could get up a great vantage point and see for miles around and see where the other people's, you know, cavalry or armies were. I think the people just were intrigued to see what was up there and how far they could go and just to see the world differently.
They didn't know about the jet stream.
They did not know about the jet stream.
Until they ran into it and then they're doing 100 miles an hour the other way. And they didn't, I guess they must have known that if you go up real high, it's going to get real cold.
Well, no, they didn't. I mean, not at the time when this film was set in 1862. But they knew it got colder, but they had no idea to the extreme levels that it got cold. And so our characters in our balloon were woefully unprepared for the kind of conditions that they met.
So Felicity Jones sort of puts on shows and she's entertainment, and she goes up in a balloon, and she's funny and popular, and then her pilot is this scientist who's interested in meteorology.
Yeah, James Glacier was a pioneering meteorologist.
He's a real person.
He's a real person, yeah.
Is she a real person? Did she exist?
She's based on a earlier pilot called Sophie Blanchard, and she was a remarkable firecracker of a woman who did acrobatics, as you mentioned, but also set off fireworks, did night flights. She was Napoleon's head of aeronauting, whatever that means. But she used to go up when he had a military procession and, you know, for propaganda purposes.
You said, I don't remember now if it displays us in the screen. I don't suppose it does. All of these things happened, or most of these things happened, maybe not at the same time. So you've conflated some stories to get through 2 hours and tell us this story.
Exactly. I mean, the real flight that it's sort of centered around, whilst being remarkable for the height that they got to 36,000 feet without, which is higher than anyone's been.
I was going to ask you that,
or
and,
since.
And so you'll reveal that it just doesn't ruin the movie. The balloon they're in goes to 36,000 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
36,000 feet.
I mean, that's pretty high.
If you fly to the plane you came over on did not go to 36,000 feet.
I mean, it's about that is about the height that the commercial airliners fly at.
Mount Everest is 29,000 feet. And they have to have oxygen just to take a step. So here's a couple of balloonists who I presume didn't have oxygen with them.
No, they did not. I mean, they weren't planning on going that high. but the truth is, they just didn't know what was up there. They, you know, nobody knew that you would get to the edge of our breathable atmosphere.
Okay, so that's sort of the arc of this story about this journey with flashbacks to their lives and what they're trying to accomplish and why they're there. I worried for you. There's not enough story here. Did you worry about that?
No, I think there was just so many extraordinary things that happened along the way. And each of them are also battling with their demons back on Earth, and they're trying to escape something from their lives. And through their relationship with each other, they sort of manage to find their place on Earth.
Tom Harper's in our studio. He's the director of The Aeronauts. It debuted at the International Film Festival in Chicago last night. It opens up in theaters across the country now. When? Soon?
On December the 6th.
December the 6th?
Yeah.
And then it's Amazon Prime, so I'll be able to see it sometime afterwards on my TV, right?
Exactly. You'll be able to see it before. I think it's December 20th.
Go to the theater and see this thing. I really like the movie. I mean, it was terrific. And you see things in this movie you have never seen before. That's a fact. I mean, you've seen Star Wars spaceships fighting it out and doing fantastic things, and you've seen World War II movies. But you have not seen some people do in and on this balloon, and it's photographed so beautifully. You know how Master and Commander, they talked about how gorgeous the ocean was and how they went around the world to get just the right hues of water. Literally, they did that. Talk a little bit about what we see on this screen.
Well, we always wanted to do as much of it for real as possible. And so our starting point was, can we build a period 19th century air balloon? And it turned out we could. And the second question was, can we get our cast to go up in it? It turns out we could. And so Eddie and Felicity were remarkably adventurous, and they got in the balloon, and we went up to 3,000 feet above the English countryside, and Felicity climbs out of it and sits on the hoop and does all sorts of remarkable stunts. So I was really sort of staggered by the bravery of
Felicity
the cast.
Climbed up onto the top of the basket. I mean, I know some of it is a stunt person. Maybe some of it didn't even happen, but it does look like she's climbing around that basket when you're up in the air.
That's her.
She's doing that?
That's all her. She's really was fearless. I mean, much more fearless than I ever
kidding.
Would have been.
My wife is afraid of heights, and maybe I am too. I looked at her at some of the scenes, and I thought, whew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's how I feel about it as well.
So the balloon's going up. There's complications. They have to try and fix it. There's some climbing around on the balloon and the scaffolding and all of that. And it's just ingenious. But then, so am I looking at the actual balloon in the sky then when I'm seeing this movie?
Yeah, so we did many flights with the real balloon, capturing it above the clouds, in the clouds, with the actors. And then we also, you know, for everything that we couldn't do for real, because there are certain sequences, I don't think it ruins too much to say they go past through a storm. We clearly couldn't put the actors into the middle of a cumulonimbus cloud and see what happened. So for everything that wasn't done for real in a helicopter or in a balloon, we went around the world chasing clouds, essentially, with a camera that shot in 360 degrees. And we went to New Orleans. We went to South Africa.
Seriously?
In the UK. Yeah.
Don't have enough clouds in the UK? Well, maybe it's always too cloudy. Maybe you didn't get the kind of clouds you wanted, huh?
Weirdly enough, that's absolutely true. You know, trying to get the right clouds for the story was surprisingly difficult and sent us to all these far-flung places.
It paid off. It's just gorgeous to look at. And again, the adventure of fixing or going up in that balloon is just something you haven't seen before. So it's a thrill ride. And the movie doesn't wait. Movie starts and boom, within moments, you're going up. And it's very intriguing. You wonder what they're going to encounter.
I mean, we really wanted it to be like a white knuckle roller coaster ride. From
starts
start
out
to
that
finish.
Way. I mean, it's a James Bond thing in a balloon, for crying out loud.
But it's also an interesting character study because, you know, these two people are stuck in this, you know, they're very different characters, and they certainly, to begin with, they don't exactly get along particularly well, and they're trapped in this confined space with no means of escape.
So they have to deal with each other as well as the elements. Can you tell on the radio the story that you all told on the stage? I don't know that it gives away much, but about what happened when the actual actors were trying to land the balloon one time?
Yes.
They died. They're both dead now. I don't know if you saw it. It's in all the papers.
I was going to say an unfortunate occasion. It actually went really well. We did this great flight over London, and the actors played out the scene. I was in a helicopter shooting from the side, and it all went very well. And so we decided to come down, and they were sort of coming down, gently down, but they slightly, you know, because the amazing thing about balloons is, you know, you can control going up and down, but you can't control what direction you go because you give yourself over to the wind. So they were coming gently down, but they slightly misjudged it and were going into some trees. So the pilot said to the actors, right, chuck out the sand, chuck out the sand.
You're
so
ballast.
We go up. Exactly.
Less weight, up you go, over the trees.
So they did this, and then...
The pilot is hiding below the basket.
Yeah, so he can't be seen from us shooting the
helicopter. When you're filming
it,
yeah.
And then the pilot looked around and went white and said to Eddie and Felicity, you chucked out all the sand. And they were like, you told us to chuck out all the sand. And he's like, yeah, not all of it, because now we've got none left. So if we come down again, we're going to hit something, we've got nothing to throw out to send us up again.
Yeah.
So that meant they had to come down. They had only one more opportunity to go down, and they had to make it really count. And they came down, and they overcooked it, and they really hit the deck, and they got dragged along the floor, and... they had a really bumpy landing. I say bumpy landing. Eddie and Felicity say horrendous crash. I think Felicity hit her head, and it was all a bit worrying. There
really?
Were screams, and we. But you know, on the plus side, we did get to use the screams in the movie. But they were absolutely fine.
Well, there's the glasses half full. The movie is there's the movie's called The Aeronauts. Tom Harper's in our studio. He's the director. I have to take a commercial break. Come back with me in a minute. Will you talk a little bit about this Peaky Blinders show as well?
Yeah, of course I will.
I mean, you're on a nice run here, my friend.
I've been lucky, yeah. It's been a good run.
Yeah. Well, we'll pick it up here in a minute. Tom Harper's in our studio. The Aeronauts is a movie you're going to start to see and hear more about. Eddie Redmayne, the Academy Award winner, Felicity Jones, who is also with him in The Theory of Everything, she herself nominated, are in this movie, The Aeronauts, directed by Tom Harper. It just opened in Chicago. You'll see it starting in December in theaters, and then maybe on Amazon Prime if you subscribe to that. So you also directed three of the first season's episodes of Peaky Blinders. What's Peaky Blinders?
Peaky Blinders is a gangster show set in Birmingham at the beginning of the 20th century. That has gone on to become a worldwide sort of hit, I guess.
It's fantastic.
Thank you. I'm so pleased you like it.
Did you know it's really rich? It reminds me of The Godfather in a way, you know, this crime family that has a heart in some ways, but, oh, they're brutal. The scenes, the costumes, the cinema of it, it's just... You know, I think we're living in the golden age of television, and when you watch something like this, you go, wow, I'm watching that on my TV at home. It's amazing.
Thanks. I'm so pleased you like it. I mean, when we were making it, we just had no idea of the success that it would become. It was, you know, Steve Knight, the creator, had, you know, he'd written, you know, a few of the scripts of the first series, and it was fantastic. And we had these other scripts that had been written that I was working on, because they hadn't quite written it all. And he was actually making a movie called Hummingbird at the time. And when he came back off his movie, he read some of the other scripts, and he was like, well... These scripts are great, but they're not my story, because the story is based on his family.
Really? This has got a basis in truth, huh?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think he refers it to the myths and the legends of his family. So I think he accepts that there is a sort of a mythologized quality to the stories as they've been handed down through the generations to him.
That first season, as you're all filming it, you're doing these episodes. Do you know what the next episode and the next episode is like? How much continuity was there?
Well... Often and most of the time, and if things are going, you know, as you would expect them, you would know what all the episodes in the series are. But that's often not the case as well. And in this case, because Steve came back and he thought it was not my family story, he said, right, well, I'm going to rewrite all these scripts. And so all these ones that you've been preparing, you think you're about to film, put those in the bin, and we're gonna start from scratch, which obviously put us under sort of extraordinary situation where we didn't quite know what was coming next.
A lot of violence in this show. What's it like on the set? When guys are just shooting, stabbing, kicking, punching each other. What's it like on the set? Yeah, like at the end of a scene, does everybody applaud or do they just go, whew, that was hard to watch? Or is there high fives?
No, there's definitely no high fives. It's certainly not taken lightly. And I think one thing that was important, certainly to me, but I think to my colleagues who we were making it with, it was to never take the violence gratuitous, to make the violence gratuitous. Now, often there are different, in different episodes, there are different reasons for it, but certainly in the episodes that I worked on, we never took it lightly. And you know, sometimes, you know, the violence was important in the telling of the character stories to understand where they've come from and where they're going to. But it's it was always seen and never looked to be portrayed glamorously and always in sort of a...
Well, it's not glamorous. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's gritty. It feels real. It usually feels like it has a purpose.
Exactly.
If you will. But... it'd be nice if there were other ways to resolve some of these things as they get lured deeper and deeper into sort of the crime family that they become. A lot of smoking on that show. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much smoking on that show. It was, I mean, poor Cillian Murphy having to smoke those terrible herbal cigarettes.
They're herbal cigarettes, right. So I understand that they're not smoking tobacco when they make movies and TVs now, but TV shows. But is there still an odor and is it a lot for the actors to do that over and over and over again?
Oh, it's filthy. I mean, even with herbal cigarettes, it's absolutely filthy. And I do not envy him in the slightest, or any of them in the slightest.
Peaky Blinders, you directed three of the first season episodes. Your latest film is The Aeronauts. It opened in Chicago this weekend at the film festival. Everybody will see it in theaters in December. What a pleasure to meet you. You're just in Chicago for your first time. Enjoy our city.
Thank you so much. I will.
Tom Harper.